thanks for checking out this message from Springmount Church.
For more information about us and what we do, visit our website, springmount.church.
Why not check out all the different groups that run throughout each week in Barrow and on Walney?
And join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. at Salthouse Pavilion in Barrow Infirmary.
If you would like us as a church to pray for you, please email prayer@springmount.church.
Or sign up on our website for monthly news straight to your inbox.
Welcome, it's great to see so many here, and there's quite a few away as well because it's the Easter holidays and bank holiday. Did anyone get up and go to a sunrise service? Well done. Just put it on there, please, in the middle. Yeah, thank you. Well done indeed, because obviously we lost an hour and you had to get up at some stupid time in the morning. You had to be out of bed at 5 o'clock this morning. Give Babs a round of applause, everybody. For getting out of bed. Well done. Okay. So, anyone eating their Easter eggs already? Oh, Jody, very good. Okay. Yeah. Warren has an Easter egg sat on our mantelpiece for quite a while, but we didn't realise that he's been chiggling away at it at the back, so there's actually nothing in it, and he's eating everything in it, and then he claims that all the others are his even when they're not. But hey, I don't need any Easter eggs, but I have got one that I've not eaten yet, so that's good. So a few things you didn't know about Easter, or you might not have known about Easter. First of all, anyone know why it's called Easter? Well done, Karen, I think you're there. Okay, most countries' name for this festival is actually linked to Passover, because Passover was what was being celebrated, so you get the word Passac. So it's to do with Passover, apart from us, and I think Germany, and they call it Easter because it was the name of a pagan goddess who was worshipped at this time of year. So when we all get upset and our knickers in a twist about people calling Christmas Xmas, let's not criticise too much when we call this festival Easter when it's about a female goddess. Okay, so and also Xmas was the way they called it with the cross anyway, so there we go. So why eggs? Why do we have Easter eggs? New life, yeah, that's a good thing. Any other advances on new life? The stone that was rolled away, yeah, that's another reason. But also, Christians weren't eating eggs during Lent. So eggs were seen as a real luxury, it was a good thing to have. So during the period of Lent, a lot of Christians wouldn't eat eggs. So at Easter weekend, it was like, yes, we'll have eggs. And originally, it was just boiled eggs. Then they dyed them. But then actually Christians said, no, we're only going to have red eggs because we need it to represent the blood of Jesus as we tell our children. I can remember we went to see a comedian who was brought up in a Christian environment, and he was talking about going to church, and I was a five-year-old. He loved going to church. Everyone was like, hi, I'm at church. He said, until one Easter Sunday, he said, they were singing songs. He said, I've been told all my life that I've got this best friend. He's called Jesus. And on Easter Sunday, I go to church, hi, church. And then they start singing songs about killing my best friend. So he said, I lay down at the back of the room crying, and this old guy, 50-year-old guy, came to him and said, what's wrong, James? And he said, well, they've killed my best friend. And he said, yes, and it was your fault. So, you know, yes, it was your... The things we lay on people, let's have red eggs because we only want that memory. But actually, the eggs were red, and then it became a chocolate egg. I think it was in the late 1800s that they first made a chocolate egg, and it was actually an eggshell filled with chocolate. So it was an empty eggshell. So there you go. If you don't learn anything else today, you've got some interesting facts, haven't you, to share with your friends and family. Third thing is this. Anyone wearing new clothes today? Yeah, okay. Okay. Just put your hands up. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't have to shout out. Just stand up if you're wearing something new today. If you can, if you're able to stand. Okay? I'm not going to shame you all. Look at that. Okay? Give him a round of applause, everybody. Okay? You can sit down. Okay, because actually, if you didn't wear new clothes on Easter Sunday, apparently it meant it was very bad. So the rest of you, you know, you may as well go home and break some mirrors as well. Why not? But if you didn't wear new clothes, that's where the whole Easter bonnet thing came from, because it was about making something new to parade down the streets at Easter. So actually, Easter was a time for new life and new clothes. So, you know, I think my wife thinks every day is an opportunity for new clothes. But anyway, but it's always a bargain, isn't it? It's always a bargain. Yeah, it's always a bargain. Okay. Yeah. And the first Good Friday they've worked out was around about the 25th of March. Okay, they reckon that's the period of time they can narrow it down to. And rarely does Easter Sunday, or sorry, Good Friday, fall on that date. In fact, the last time it fell on that date, it was 2016, and the next time will be 2157. So if you're still here then, well done. Babs will still be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And we'll be celebrating that, but actually, 2157, and apparently it's also thought to be bad if that happens. Isn't it funny how a lot of superstitions originated within churches? You know, the walking under a ladder is to do with breaking up the Trinity, apparently. You know, touch wood is to do with the cross. The number 13 was to do with Judas, the disciple, and then replacing him. So all these little things that go on, and we go, oh, we're not superstitious, they actually came from people of faith. So those are some interesting facts about Easter, yeah? You can all go to sleep now if you want, that's fine. No. Okay. What plans? I don't know about you, what plans have you made recently? Maybe you've not made many, maybe this weekend you've had plans, but often we make plans and we have to change them. Joel and Naomi are currently driving around Iceland 10 days around in a small camper van. And they have planned meticulously to the day where they're going to be, where they're going to drive, what they're going to eat, what they're going to see. And actually, that's great, isn't it? But what happens when one of these volcanoes goes off? He showed us a picture of a road the other day that was just covered in molten lava. And within 4 days, they'd cleared it and re-tarmacked it and resurfaced it. Wouldn't that be amazing, hey? Wouldn't that be amazing if we had that going on? I am sure that they will have an amazing, amazing time. But yeah, as I say, Iceland, Joel told me it's one of the places where they've got the most dangerous canoes. It's the volcanoes, but anyway, there we go. So, that's Joel's fault if you didn't like it. Their plans could change at any moment. They have no say, no control over what's going to happen. Because actually, anything can happen. So you might have the best plans ever, but how many of us struggle if our plans are changed? How many of us are a little bit control freaks and we struggle and we don't want what we want happening interfered with, or we don't want things happening unless they happen our way? Who struggles with that? Okay, few of us. Well, I believe that Easter is the perfect time to reassess what we want and what God wants, because God's kingdom is upside down compared to ours and what the world wants. We've been doing a series on Proverbs, and you might think, well, it's Easter, we should have a really Easter-themed thing. We are. But the whole Bible points to Jesus. The whole Bible points to Jesus. And today I'm going to look at one verse in Proverbs, and then we're going to have a few different people reading the Easter story throughout the time. And one verse in Proverbs I want us to learn, and I'm going to use one of my dad's techniques from when I was at Sunday school. So I'm going to take you back to your childhood a little bit, and mine, just to reminisce. So Proverbs 19, verse 21, will be up on the screen. Ta-da! Okay, so we're going to read it through together. Are you ready? So I want you to read it, including the Proverbs 19, 21 bit. Because remembering scripture is really good, isn't it? It's really important. So are you ready? Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 19, verse 21. I'm going to start with the Proverbs 19 bit because that will make it easier on the next thing. Ready? We're going to say it again. Proverbs 19, 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. One more time. You ready? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now, I've got some little chocolate eggs here. Laura's already eyeing them up. I did say the amount of effort it takes to open them, it's really not worth it. But hey, and I've not done a risk assessment at throwing them out in case it hits you on the head. But hey, there are some solicitors present. He's smiling at me. Okay. Right, I'm going to take that off the screen, okay? Take that off the screen, thank you. Right, I'm going to stop. I want you to shout out the next word, okay? So you ready? Proverbs chapter, very good. I'm not giving sweets out yet, that's too easy. Proverbs chapter 19, verse, you great learners, aren't you? It's good this, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans. Look at that. Hey, it's like being a teacher again. This. It's great. Do it again. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart. Look, you give me three words now. You don't get three eggs. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Okay, I'll give you that. Last thing I'm going to do, and this is where you just put your hand up if you know the word, okay? I'm going to mouth the words, okay? So you're going to watch carefully, okay? I just have to point out, the word purpose always makes me smile because somebody I know who used to work in, I shouldn't say this, it's a secret, is it? Somebody used to work in a big place near here, and they used to do some of the manuals, and whenever they found the word purpose, they put the word porpoise in just to see if anybody proofread it properly. But anyway, there we go. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to mouth it, so watch carefully. Liz, are you ready? I'll tell you what, Aaron, you can go around and give them out, otherwise we'll be here all day. Proverbs chapter 19, sorry. 21. Sue was first there, I think. The rest of you have just lost interest now. Well, you see, get here. Come, there's no one on the front. You should have sat on the front row, you see. It's where the blessing is, isn't it? That's what someone once told me. Load of rubbish. Okay. Are you ready? Plans. Rebecca Macklegorn. Can I just say, people watching online have thought they've lost their sound or they've lost their ears at the moment. Okay. Last one. Are you ready? You're on pins there, Francis. I don't know. Put your hand up if you want a chocolate, Aaron will come and give you one. There you go. Okay. Let's finish. Let's just say the whole thing together. Ready? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purposes will prevail. Okay? That is what Easter is all about. That is what Easter is all about. I'm going to invite the first person to come and read Mark chapter 11, verses 7 to 11 to us. And this takes us back to Palm Sunday. Thanks, Karen. Thank you. Okay. So that was last week's message, if you like, Palm Sunday. And the thing that's important to recognize is Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in the people's hearts. People's plans were in the Hosanna. People's plans were in the Hosanna. Hosanna means save. They went following Jesus as he rode on this donkey into the city, shouting, Hosanna, save, save. Blessed is he. Man's plans were in the celebration. They thought that Jesus had come to overthrow the Roman rule. They thought that the Roman soldiers would clear off. That was their plan. That was their idea. And so they followed Jesus in, shouting Hosanna, praise, victory, celebration, declaration. He's here, he's going to win. That was man's plans. But many of the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Maybe your plans today are just in the celebration of chocolate. That would be very sad, as much as I like chocolate. But our plans can't be in the stuff that we have. Our plans can't be in the stuff that's around us and we can just focus on that. There's been uproar, hasn't there, about Easter eggs not being called Easter eggs and just being a celebration egg. Well, as I said, Easter is about a pagan goddess. Big deal. The important thing is we celebrate the one that is risen. the new life. That's the purpose of the egg, the new life that is Jesus burning, absolutely. Maybe your plans today are relief that you can now eat takeaways after Lent. Some Wes has been living with us for a few weeks, and every time we've had a takeaway, he's like, oh no, I can't have it. I'm like, why? I thought like he had some dietary need. He's like, no, I've given it up for Lent. I'm like, oh well, never mind. And we actually led him astray on Friday night and gave him one, but that's by the by. Or maybe your plans today is just to be at church because it's Easter. It's a tradition. Do you know, I don't do very many assemblies anymore, but I tend to go back to my old school, and they wheel me out at Christmas and wheel me out at Easter. I said, I am available the rest of the year. I said, you know, I'm not just for Easter or Christmas. I feel like a dog from a rescue dog or whatever. But that Palm Sunday, the disciples couldn't have seen what was coming next, even though Jesus had kept telling them. Jesus kept telling them what was going to happen. He kept saying, I'm going to die. It's going to happen. When we get there, it's not going to be great. But actually, people's plans weren't going to be that way. They thought the people's plans were for Jesus to be celebrated, to be king, to be the one who is victorious and overthrow the Romans. Their hopes and dreams of victory and salvation would appear to be literally dead and buried. Their plans were dead in the water. Their plans were nowhere to be seen. After the next bit, Faye, birthday girl, come and read Mark chapter 15, verses 6 to 39. This is a long reading. It's her birthday. She loves reading. That's my present to you.
Thank you.
Yep. Do you want the microphone? That'll be good, wouldn't it?
Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. What shall I do then with the one you call king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him, they shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that's the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. They began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews! Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and they spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they'd mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to be crucified. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, the King of the Jews. They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself. In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, Listen, he's calling on Elijah. One man filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard this cry and saw how he died, he said, Surely this man was the Son of God.
Thank you. Amen. There's a lot of long passages today to be read, but I think that's important because actually what I've got to say isn't as important as what the Bible's already said. And I don't know if you noticed in that bit, but as I say, man's plans or people's plans were in the Hosanna. And actually, when it was decided whether they would release Barabbas or Jesus, just before that, it says that they went to Pilate and said to do what he would normally do. And I believe in that moment, the people's idea was, well, Jesus shouldn't be there. The people's idea was that he should be released. And that actually, if he put Jesus up against Barabbas, the people probably believed that Jesus would go free. But then the chief priests stirred up the crowd and they shouted, crucify him. Because, you know, man's plans and people's plans were in the Hosanna, but God's plans were in the crucify him. God's plans weren't in that victory of overthrow of power and might and violence and insurrection. God's plans were in salvation. And salvation had to come through the death of one. What a powerful time of year we can do it. So many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Proverbs 19, verse 21. How true was that at Easter? Our plans might be in the Hosanna, but God's plans are in the crucify him. Your plans today might be in something amazing, and you might be going through horrendous times, but God's purposes will prevail. Man's plans were in the Hosanna. You know, we often read that passage in the Old Testament that says the Lord's plans are to prosper and not to harm. And actually, sometimes we think that means that everything will be rosy. But look at Easter. People's plans were in the Hosanna, but God's plans were in the crucify him. And as a result, the whole world can be blessed. It's not something we necessarily want to hear. It's not quite as encouraging, that verse from the Old Testament, is it, when you think about it in those terms? Many are the plans that God has to prosper. But man's plans are in the Hosanna, and his plans are in the crucify him. Now, I had a plan to do my assembly at New Barns on Thursday, but Amazon's plans changed my idea, because Amazon didn't fulfill the delivery on the time they said they were going to do it. So I had to try and think differently and try and come up with another idea, which worked on the Wednesday night in my bathroom. But sadly, it didn't work very well in the assembly. However, I'm quite good at winging it, and I said, what's the worst that could happen? I don't get invited back. I get free one morning every Easter and Christmas. It's brilliant. But this is the illustration, and I think many of us might be visual learners, and you might think, you know, actually, listening to Johnny is a bit boring. So I thought, I'll do my assembly for you this morning because it'll illustrate the point, and I think it does. You can actually tell the whole story, if you like, of the Bible up to Easter using this fishbowl and this water. Because in the beginning, God made the light, made the heavens and the earth, made the plants, made the animals, made the things that crawl and fly, made people, and he said that it was good. Yeah? So everything was good, everything was pure, everything was clear. But then, within chapters of the Bible, we see the first murder. We see people getting jealous. We see people hating. We see people saying that I'm better than God, I'm bigger than God. We see a situation where darkness comes, where people are rescued by God time and time again. And yet actually, every time they're rescued, they might lie, they might cheat. Even David, the man who was after God's own heart, didn't do the right thing all the time. And so actually, we created this world that was good, or God created this world that was good. And yes, well, we might do some good things in it. We've polluted it with our anger, with our lies, with our cheating, with our violence. And so actually, we end up with something that's not so good. It's not quite as nice. It's not as clear. Yes, there's still good in the world. Yes, there's still good things. And so Easter is the message that Jesus came to die on a cross. Now, Ross said to me, you could get Alan Durham to make you a really nice one. Instead of using two glockenspiel or xylophone bits taped together. I said, well, it was the old rugged cross for starters. And actually, one of them's a C and one of them's an A sharp, I think. So that the centurion could see that Jesus was the Son of God. What's the A sharp got to do with anything? A flat. It was a flat day for the disciples. There you go. Okay. See, I can wing anything. So Jesus came to die to this broken world. But as you can see, there's still darkness. There's still darkness. And we'll come back to that in a moment and pray that it works. So God may mess up your plans. What are your plans today? Maybe your plans were to come along to church for the day and that will be it. Maybe your plans, maybe you never planned to take God seriously. Maybe you still don't plan to take God seriously. Maybe you've never really considered Jesus to be even a real person when actually history will tell you he was. And history will tell you he is. Maybe your plans will be messed up because they're out of your control. But many are the plans in a person's heart. But the Lord's purposes will prevail. Proverbs 19, verse 21. We may be wanting the Hosanna and waiting for the Hosanna, yet the purpose he has may be a very different way completely. Let's read another passage. Thanks, Francis. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
So, Peter went away wondering what had happened. Today, maybe you didn't plan to wonder, but my prayer for you this Easter is to wonder what it's all about. The women went back and said, "He's risen." And yet the disciples who'd been told he was going to didn't believe them. You know, many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Maybe the women thought, "Yes, the disciples are going to be so excited. They're going to jump up and down, going to spin round and round, going to praise his name forever." But actually, they just didn't believe them. Maybe today you work with people who just mock you for what you believe, but actually history tells us that there is a tomb that is empty. There is a tomb that doesn't contain bones. There is a place where you can see the fact that these events happened. The prophecies we talked about at Christmas tell us that Easter happened, and that Jesus fulfills them in an amazing way. So Jesus died, and yet the world still remains a dark place, doesn't it? Today, it's not about his death. It's about his resurrection. Because I can put this cross in the water, I can put this cross in the world, and actually, it doesn't make any difference unless you grab hold of it. And unless you do something with it, because he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. And when you grab hold of it, the cross is empty. The cross is empty. The grave is empty. Because he lives. And actually, the whole point of his death and his resurrection is that things can be made good again. No matter who you are, and we've sung this morning already, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you currently believe, you can choose today to grab hold of the cross. And you can do something with it. Because the Bible tells me it's about, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish. It tells me that if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead and declare with our mouths, I got that the wrong way around, declares with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hosanna. He's in the Hosanna now. God's plans are in the Hosanna now. But on Easter Sunday, they were in the crucify him. Why? Because if we choose to do something about that cross, if we choose to grab hold of that truth, then all in our life can be made good. All can be restored. God is a God of restoration. All can be put right. I'm glad it worked. I wish it worked on Thursday. But can you see the cross being in there isn't the thing that makes the difference? It's when you grab hold of it and you do something with it and you recognize that he is on that cross no more. He's risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. Do you know, there's many people in this room who have accepted Jesus as Savior, who have said, Hosanna, save me. And this Easter Sunday would be an amazing day to do that. So, you have to acknowledge that his ways are higher than ours. We have to acknowledge that our plans might be in the Hosanna, but God's plans were in the difficult way of a death, but a triumphant resurrection, because he has risen. Yeah? So what are your plans for this weekend? Do they include much of Jesus? His plan includes you, but you have to choose to grab hold of it and take it for yourself. And if you've never done that, when I've finished, the prayer team will be back. Go and say to them, I want to choose the cross. I want to choose the man who died in my place. I want to choose the man who paid the price. What are your plans? Do they include Jesus? Because his plan includes you. The Hosanna wasn't going to win the battle. The Hosanna wasn't going to solve the problem of separation from God. The Hosanna lasted just a week. But the purposes of God last for all eternity. They last for all eternity. And once we have grabbed hold of it, we can have a Hosanna that rings out forever. Save. This morning, as a church, we choose to love. It's not about making you feel bad. It's about saying it can be good. Despite the darkness that surrounds, it can be good. Why? Because he has paid the price. It is finished. Many are the plans in a person's heart. But the Lord's purposes will prevail. Will you allow them to prevail in your life? Will you allow them to make it good again? Or do you want to keep living in that dirty, dark place and say, Hosanna? I'm going to invite the band up. Thank you. Let's go to pray first. If you want to be prayed with this morning, then the prayer team will be at the back. But I want to say this, if you do not know Jesus, if you've never chosen to grab hold of that cross, or maybe you have in the past, but you've let it slide and everything has stopped being good again, doesn't mean life will be rosy, but it means that with God, we can make it through. And ultimately, he wins. Ultimately, he wins. So if you want today to be prayed with, go to the back while we sing. We are going to take communion. And I want to just recognise that there's a verses of communion that happened in the Bible. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 23 say this. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. It was a celebration. He's telling them he's going to suffer again. I have eagerly desired, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfilment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this, and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again until from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, giving thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. As we take communion, I want you to recognize that when Jesus did it, he broke bread. He took bread and he broke it. He tore it apart. That symbolized his body being torn apart for us. But you know, the first person he gave it to was Judas. Judas kissed Jesus but betrayed him. What did Jesus do for Judas? Judas washed his feet. Judas loved him. Do you know, for those who are Christians this morning, it's easy to love Jesus. But who did Jesus love? He gave his body and broke it and he said, here you go, Judas. I'm not saying you're Judas. Here you go, Judas. Here you go, Judas. I love you because I love you. And you have got the same on you as everybody else. And actually, all of us at the table this morning can be considered as Judas. But you know what? God has restored our relationship with him. That is what this is about. It's not a solemn, dreary occasion. It's a celebration of knowing that this is a symbol of life. That is a symbol of life. And that because of this, our relationship with God is restored. I don't believe that's something to sit and be mournful about. I believe that's something to celebrate. So as we take this, celebrate Jesus. If you want to remember Jesus as Lord and Savior, join with us this morning. If you don't know what it's about, you don't have to take it. But today would be an amazing day for you to start your relationship with him. Let's worship and let's take the bread and the juice.